Let's pray together. Father, we do indeed want to see your kingdom here. We thank you that you've made the kingdom available to us. And so, God, we cry out to you. Lord, we want to see your kingdom here. Do it. Come. And God, perform in our midst only that which you can do. God, we're here for you. We're here to be touched by you. We're here to be empowered and graced by you. Now, would you come in the name of Jesus and by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God? Come and move, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So we're starting a new series today, and a couple things leading up to the introduction of it. We're going to start talking to you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now, if you're a really good note taker and you learn by writing notes down, I want to fully invite you, take incredible notes. Take some really good notes. Now, if you're better, if you're kind of, you learn by listening, you're more of an auditory learner, then I want you to listen really good and then go to gracechapel.net later and you can download the very notes that I preach from, the exact same notes, the same outline, all that. Here's why I'm making this strong of an appeal to you. I want you to get this. I want you to really, really get this, because I guarantee you this is life-changing stuff. When you fully understand the kingdom of God, it'll change you forever. I'm personally, when I was a brand new believer in Jesus, rushed off to Bible college, I am so profoundly grateful for my pastors there, specifically Pastor Ron Larson, who pulled me and a few others aside and said, listen, guys, I need to teach you about the kingdom of God. When I learned this stuff as a brand new believer, you know, I didn't have a whole bunch of experience behind me, but I can tell you, it rocked my world. It revolutionized my world. It helped me connect dots for things that I thought about, believed for, prayed for, and it like summarized it all, and I had like that aha moment. Now I get it. Now I see why. And so I'm hoping and praying, friends, that you have that exact same kind of experience as we go through this series. I'm hoping and praying that confidence and expectancy for you personally to live in the realm of the supernatural, that it's going to increase significantly. That you're going to have a confidence and an expectancy to live in the supernatural kingdom of God in ways that you never have before. And so I'm hoping and praying that way for all of us, for the entire church family. Now today, friends, it's a bit of an introduction. Going to outline some key issues, bring some pivotal, foundational understanding to this, and then we'll move on in the weeks to come. But it's really, really important for me today that we lay a foundation as we talk about the kingdom of God. So, three things we're going to cover today for you note takers. Three things we're going to cover. First of all, we're going to answer the question very clearly, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? We can talk about the kingdom of God. Let's make sure we define it right first and foremost. What is the kingdom? And I'm going to tell you right out of the chute that there are three different aspects of the kingdom of God. And typically, what people do in church circles, theological circles, they like to take one of those things and say, that's what the kingdom is. That's what it is. And it's only that. So someone will take that one or take, you know, number two. No, this is what the kingdom is. Because we limit God in his expression and in his power. We think, surely the kingdom of God couldn't be more than one thing, could it? Well, of course it can be, because we're talking about an eternal God. We're talking about an inexhaustible God. So surely the kingdom could be more than one thing. In fact, we're going to see very clearly that the kingdom of God is actually three things. Three things. So what is the kingdom? We're going to look at that. The second thing is, we're going to look at what I'm calling the priority of the kingdom. I want you to notice the frequency and the emphasis that Jesus puts on this topic of the kingdom of God. In other words, if Jesus is talking about it all the time, if he's emphasizing it a lot, we should learn from that that this is probably like a pretty important issue. So the priority of the kingdom. And then third and finally, we're going to look at what it means to seize the kingdom. In other words, what is the necessary attitudes that we need to walk in order to really apprehend and own, if you will, and appropriate everything that the kingdom of God affords us? How do we get about doing that so that it's our own, okay? So those are our three things that we're going to cover today. All right, first of all, what is the kingdom? As I said, three components to it, and it's important to understand all three simultaneously. That's good, solid theology, to understand all three. So first of all, here you go. The primary definition of the kingdom of God is this. Number one, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. It's the sovereignty of God. It's the dominion of God. It's the power of God. Most of us, when we think of the kingdom, we think of an area, a location. And that is true. But friends, listen to me. First and foremost, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Almighty God. Now, there's a bajillion verses that we could show you. I just want to show you two out of the book of Psalms. First of all, Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over this age that we live in. His kingdom rules over the age that is to come. His kingdom rules over angels and demons. His kingdom rules over men, over heaven and hell and earth. His kingdom rules over all. So if you're could, you know, just kind of put your hands out just for a visual, if you'll remember this. If we're thinking of God's kingdom, it's from beginning to end and everything in between. God will forever rule and reign, period. His kingdom rules over everything that exists from inside our time-space continuum that we live in, from creation to full redemption to the times beyond that, times eternal. God's kingdom, it's his rule and his reign, and it's over everything. We move on. Psalm 145, verses 11 through 13, says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion, or your rule, your reign, endures throughout all generations. And so look what it says there. It speaks of the glory of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, the majesty of the kingdom, the mighty acts of the kingdom of God. That it's an everlasting, not just that it rules over all, but it's everlasting, it's eternal, it's from all generations. God rules and reigns forever, period. Nothing's ever going to change that. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God over everything, everywhere, for all time. It's his sovereign power that oversees everything. It's our first definition. Now, our second definition. The kingdom of God is a future realm. Would y'all say future realm? I'm going to have you repeat several things today, so wake up. Elbow the person next to you because I want you to get this in your spirit. The kingdom of God is a future realm where the fullness of kingdom glory happens. The kingdom of God is a future realm where the fullness of kingdom glory happens. Most of us would just simply refer to this as being heaven. Sometimes in the scriptures, we see different phrases used, and it's all the same thing. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It depends which gospel we're talking about. The gospel of Matthew predominantly uses the kingdom of heaven because that's more Jewish. The kingdom of God, the gospel of Mark, written to the Romans and the Gentile world, predominantly referred to it as the kingdom of God. But it's all the exact same thing. We're talking about that future realm, that future geographic space, if you will, where God rules and reigns in his fullness, where everything that is in the gracious, benevolent, kind heart of God is expressed in the totality of its wonder and glory. It's the fullness of the kingdom that we're gonna see happen in the future. Now, as we talk about these next few passages of Scripture, it is vitally important that you latch onto what heaven is like. Now, I know we've talked a bunch in this church about heaven, but I want to say again, you have to understand what heaven is like in its future realm, because as we're going to see in a little bit, we get the ability to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven." So if we don't know what it's like in heaven, how are we going to pray, "God, do heavenly things here on earth"? So as we unpack these things about the future kingdom of God, where it's expressed in its fullness and in its glory, we have to understand what it's like, because we can pray, "God, start doing some of that right here, right now." All right, the prophet Isaiah writes, I love this. This is good, familiar stuff to many of you. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, and then Isaiah chapter 11, verses 4 through 9. It says that he, God, shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. Now look at the result of this judgment. They will then beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, chapter 11, verse 4 through 9. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling all together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, if you look at through what the kingdom is going to be like in its full expression of glory, you see that peace is going to rule and reign there, that righteousness is going to rule and reign, that there will be a total end of all wickedness, that faithfulness will be there in its place, that there will be total harmony. And we see the beautiful pictures of these animals that usually would be at each other continually. You know, there they are lying down together, eating together, where they would normally eat one another. Now they're eating grass and straw and hanging out together. Harmony, safety. A little child will be sticking his hand in the cobra's den, and nothing will hurt or cause pain or destruction at all. There will be no pain or destruction at all in the future kingdom of God in its full expression. We get to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. More expression of what that future kingdom is going to look like. John says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God,'" look at this, "'will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The kingdom age, the future kingdom age, it'll be God's not just his tangible presence, but his manifest presence in ways that we don't know here on earth. God nearer to us than ever before. God wiping our tears away. There'll be no more death or sorrow, crying or pain. All of those things will be gone. All of those things will be passed away. And he says, behold, all things will become new. And this is true and faithful. I think he said that, Janice. I think he honestly, because John was thinking, this sounds too good to be true. Like, really? This future heavenly kingdom is going to be that unbelievably awesome? Really? Are you sure? God said, I know what you're thinking. Hey, write this down. These words are faithful, Michael, and they are true. You can take it to the bank. That's what the future realm of the kingdom is going to be like. Yes. Peter says it like this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. In talking about the kingdom, the future kingdom, he says that it's an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and that does not fade away. And it's reserved for us in heaven. Look at the three words Peter uses there. First of all, incorruptible. It means in the future heavenly kingdom of God, there will be no corruption, no decay, no withering, no minimizing, nothing getting older and frailer and beat down and broken down. None of that. No decay whatsoever. It'll be totally undefiled. It means there will be nothing in the future heavenly kingdom that causes any type of sin whatsoever. Completely undefiled, completely pure. There won't even be the desire to want to sin. Not only will sin not be there, there won't even be the want to there. Incorruptible, undefiled, and then unfading. I think Peter got to that point in the list, maybe just like John, and was going, man, this just sounds unbelievable. But after so long, it being so good for so long, I wonder if it's going to get kind of old. And the Holy Spirit tapped him on the shoulder and said, write the word unfading. Because heaven in its future glory, with all of the wonder that it is, it'll never, ever, ever get old, ever. It's never going to fade. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise. There's never going to be a time a million years from now where we go, oh, that again? God, can't you do something new? There will never be a spirit of familiarity. We're never going to become familiar with the splendor and the majesty that is the future kingdom of God displayed for us to experience in its fullness. There will never be a moment of familiarity, disappointment, or staleness. It'll never be, oh, that again. And it will always be, oh, that again. So we start thinking about the kingdom of God, what that future realm is going to be like. And then finally, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, how does he say it? He says that we're going to be given an abundant entrance. It's going to be supplied to us in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of everything that the future kingdom is, he uses the word abundant there when talking about our entrance into it. He doesn't just say, oh, yeah, and then when this body's done and, you know, kind of decrepit and decayed, then you get to go into heaven. He says, no, no, no. I understand about the incorruptibility of heaven, the lack of decay, the lack of corruption, the lack of staleness and familiarity. It's not there. Therefore, the entrance that I'm getting into this glorious place is abundant, wonderful, mesmerizing, mind-boggling, glorious beyond detail. And it's going to be that way forever, an everlasting kingdom. So now we go, okay. With just these few short passages, I start to see what the future realm of the kingdom of God is going to look like. Now, all of a sudden, when I start thinking about how Jesus taught us to pray, and this is a huge part of us going future, going into the weeks to come. Listen to me. I want you to get this. This is radically important to get this. When we understand all that the kingdom is in its future, and then Jesus saying things like, the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom is among you, and even beyond that, crazy things like this, Jesus said, I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. How? Just like it is up there, just like it is in heaven. Jesus gives us permission to pray huge prayers for massive kingdom impact on the earth right now. If I don't know how glorious heaven is, I can't pray that way. But if I do know how amazing heaven is, and I know that Jesus gave me permission to pray that way, all of a sudden, where there's division and destruction and tension and turmoil in my house, I can pray, Jesus, please bring some of that future peace. Lord, my wife and I, not really, my wife and I, Lord, we need to beat our pruning shears into, or pruning hooks into, what is, I'm not a gardener, what was it? Huh? Swords into plowshares. I got carried away right there thinking, oh my gosh, my wife's gonna think that I'm telling people we're having problems. We're fine, I promise you. I promise you. I'm just saying, Lord, bring some heavenly peace into our home. Bring some heavenly peace into our marriages. Bring some heavenly peace into our relationship with our kids. Could anybody use that? That alone would be glorious. So he says, pray that way. Lord, there's health and healing in heaven. There's no sickness, disease, or pain. God, here's a person, a friend, a family member who's going through it. God, we're asking you, please, by your mercy and power, would you release some future heavenly glory into this situation on earth right here, right now? It changes everything. And so the kingdom, it's the rule and reign of God over everything. The kingdom, it's the future realm of God where the fullness of God's glory will be experienced. Now, number three, the kingdom of God is the realm of God we enter now. Would you all say now? That we enter now through our new birth or being born again in order to experience the blessing of God's reign. It's the realm of God that exists now. And we access it through being born again. If you want to know how to get in on this, it's by being born again. And then you begin to experience the blessings of God's rule and reign in your life. Now look at this. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a very religious man, but someone who had never been born again. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see or experience or understand the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again if you're going to see and experience the kingdom. You have to have that time in your life where you repent, you turn, change direction from a life of sin and rebellion and a life running toward God. You change direction, you repent, you believe with all you've got. You trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you. You receive that then for yourself. You repent, believe, and receive. I receive that. And the scripture says, to as many as received him, he gave the right and the power, the privilege to become children of God. And then I confess that. I confess Jesus before men. Somewhere in the midst of that happening in your life, the Holy Spirit of God whoosh, zaps you. And you become a born-again child of God. And then that is your entryway. It is your access into all of the kingdom that is available to us right here, right now. The kingdom of God isn't just a future thing. It is, and it will be experienced in its fullness. But the kingdom of God is right here, right now, for us to experience. Listen to me, not in its fullness. This is where people get in trouble. Not in its fullness, but in some degree of expression. Well, how much, Steve? How much expression is that? Only God knows in every single circumstance. There's people that we've prayed for in this room, prayed for a miracle, and they're in heaven right now. That's where they got their healing. There's people in this room that we've prayed for, and they got a miracle, and they're here today. They weren't supposed to be here. They're here today. Every single person, I want you to adopt this mindset in your life. If you were to ask me today, Steve, every single person that you pray to be saved, every single person you pray to be healed, do you believe that every single person is going to be saved and healed, delivered throughout the rest of your life? I'm going to tell you no. No. What do I believe? I believe that every individual person that I do, I believe for them. Do you understand the difference? I understand that in the big picture, not everybody is going to have a visitation of future kingdom power in their life right here, right now. But when I get in each individual situation, I'm saying, oh God, do it this time right here, right now. Because it's not my job to judge the judge. It's not my job to tell the king, as one of his subjects, what to do in every circumstance. All I can do is say, God, this seems to line up with your word. My job is to pray and obey, and I'm going to leave the results with you. But I am going to believe because he's called me to. I am going to pray. I'm going to anoint with oil. I'm going to do all the stuff that I know how to do, hoping and praying that he's going to touch every person. But sometimes, instead of celebrations, we have celebrations of life. That just happens, doesn't it? That's reality. See, this is where, friends, this issue of the kingdom is so radically important, because there's some people that go, well, if the kingdom is here right now, you know, 20 years ago, all of the kingdom now people, they got off track. Because they said, if the kingdom is here now, like you're saying, then every person's going to get healed. Every person's going to get saved. All I have to do is pray it and say it and claim it and believe it and do it, and God has to do it. No. Because if you adopt that mentality, you're wrong, because what you're describing is heaven. It's only the future kingdom of God where everything's gonna be all right forever. If that happened here on earth, we would call this heaven and not earth. It's only later that we get to experience it in its fullness. It's right now that we get to experience some of it. How much of it? As much as God wills and allows in any given situation. That doesn't mean I throw my arms up and just say, well, God's going to do whatever he's going to do, whatever. No, that means I'm going to press in every single time and believe the best for someone to get a miracle every single time. And let God be the judge. Let him do what he's going to do. But I want to be found believing and praying for sure. We enter into the kingdom that's available to us now by being born again. And when we get born again, look at this, what happened. Look at how Paul says this, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. It says that God has then delivered us from the power of darkness. Doesn't that sound good? He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When we get born again, friends, our address changes. We get delivered from the power of darkness, because darkness does have power. Make no mistake about it. Darkness power is to blind people. It's to keep people in doubt and unbelief and rebellion toward God. It was Jesus looking at Judas when he was getting ready to betray him and said those words to him, now is the time of the power of darkness. It's betrayal and rejection of all that is good and God. That's what we've been delivered from. Not just what we will be delivered from, but what we have been delivered from. The power of darkness. And we've come into a brand new kingdom. And it is the kingdom of the Son of his love. It is not the kingdom of death and darkness and blindness and rebellion and rejection. It is the kingdom of love and life and light and understanding and grace and power and ability way beyond our own. Because God says, in this kingdom right here, right now, I'm gonna give you a touch of what is to come. And even the touch is enough to fully transform your life. Friends, it is time for the church to start believing at an increased level for a visitation of heaven right here on earth right now. We have lived impotent lives for far too long. The world looks at us in our bound up, messed up, screwed up addictions and bondages. They look at us and go, you're no better off than I am. It's time for us to start seizing and appropriating that which is ours. Listen, if this isn't true, then nothing's true.
I want to just keep saying to a world that's getting wackier, crazier by the day, you don't have to live that way. You can be set free. You really can. I don't care what it is that's destroying you. His power rules over all, and it does that today. Get born again. Come into his kingdom. Be delivered from darkness. Receive redemption. It means to be purchased out of slavery and receive the forgiveness of sins. That's available right now. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Peter goes on. Again, this is a Jesus thing. This is a Paul thing. This is a Peter thing. They all talk about this. Peter says that God's divine power has given to us all things, not some things. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, look at this, have been given to us, given to us. That means right here, right now, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, we become partakers. Listen to this. Of the divine nature. We start believing the promises of God. We start partaking of the divine nature, not our old fallen nature. We're not trying to just to put a silly little band-aid on a life of sin. No, we're a brand new creation in Christ. We're partaking of the divine nature as we appropriate the powers of the age to come in this present evil age that are packaged to us in the promises of God, and they are exceedingly precious and powerful. Then we escape, look at this, we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Escape the corruption. Be free from the corruption. To hell with the corruption. Get rid of the corruption. It's possible by going after Jesus and realizing the kingdom isn't just the future. Some of the future has visited our present, and that sum is enough to change me forever. Next, I want to talk to you about the priority of the kingdom of God. These next two points are going to be very quick. The priority of the kingdom of God. When you see all that the kingdom of God is, it is no wonder that Jesus made it a priority to talk and to teach about it. Jesus started his ministry talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew 4, 23, look what it says. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Jesus started his ministry by preaching and declaring the gospel of the kingdom. It means the good news of the kingdom. You see, this message of the kingdom, that it's touched our lives right here, right now, that is good news. Jesus said, I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm telling you there's future power available to you right here, right now. And if you don't believe me, hey, watch this. Bring me that person, that sick person, that disease, that demon-possessed one. Bring them all right here. Hey, be free in Jesus' name. Dead men walk. Demon-possessed people go free. The sick are cured. Why? Because, David, the kingdom of God is upon us. Jesus said it himself. It's here now. It's available. And it changes everything. Jesus talked about it, demonstrated it. Jesus continued his ministry. Mentioned this already. We'll go by it quickly. Jesus continued it in his ministry. He said, you want to know how to pray? Here's how you pray. You pray, your kingdom come, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, teach us to pray. We need to know how to pray. Jesus said, pray like this. It's the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. The first thing is a declaration. Hallowed be thy name. The first petition in the Lord's Prayer, again showing its priority, is Jesus said, pray for the kingdom of God to come. And that doesn't just mean, you know, that the future age come now into our present evil age. It means the power of the future age coming into this present evil age. Come now, God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done right here on earth, Lord, just like it is in heaven. Everything we know about heaven, make it happen right here on earth, or at least a little bit of it in this situation. It's the last thing in the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The last thing in the Lord's Prayer. It's a declaration. It's like this kingdom thing is really important. It's the beginning of his ministry. It's the first part of the Lord's Prayer. It's the end of the Lord's Prayer. Everything that's contained in the Lord's Prayer, every petition that's in the Lord's Prayer is summarized by saying, God, we're asking you to do this because yours is the kingdom. Yours is the rule. Yours is the reign. Yours is the power forever and ever. Amen. God, I know who you are and what you do. So do it in these situations, we pray. Jesus gave us permission to pray like that. Jesus ended his earthly ministry with this message of the kingdom. Acts 1:3 says that he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. The last 40 days Jesus was on earth, he was talking about the kingdom. He was talking about the rule and reign of God in every single circumstance. He was talking about the rule and reign of God that is to come. He was talking about the kingdom of God. It's a priority. If it was that big of a priority for Jesus, it should be that big of a priority for us. Just to say, okay, God, I never really understood this before, but God, increase in me a hunger, a knowledge, an understanding, an executing of being a kingdom person. Of seeing things differently than I ever have. Help me see through kingdom eyes. Help me see things understanding what's available to me right now in my life. Lastly, I want to talk to you about seizing the kingdom of God. Seizing the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you, friends, about the aggressive attitude that it's going to take in our lives to apprehend the kingdom. It is going to take an aggressive attitude. You cannot have a country club, cruise ship, nonchalant attitude and expect to seize the kingdom of God. You know why you can't? Because there's too much opposition trying to keep you from the kingdom. The enemy of our souls knows the power of the kingdom of God. He knows what's there, and so what he does, he tries to keep people from it however he can. Let me get him so busy. Let me get them so wrapped up with entertainment and fun and frivolity. Let me do whatever I can do to keep them from the power of the kingdom. Let me oppose them at every turn. And because of that opposition, our churches are filled with people who have never really entered into kingdom living. It's what the Bible called, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a carnal Christian. It's someone who confesses Christ but doesn't live in the kingdom. It's someone who has too much of the world in them to be happy in Jesus, but too much of Jesus in them to be happy in the world. They're the most miserable, conflicted people around. Like, choose you this day whom you will serve. If God is God, then serve the kingdom of God. Submit to the rule and reign of God. Receive the promises of God. Live a life for God that's been transformed, healed, and delivered. And take other people with you. Yes. Story after story. I read this to Sarah yesterday. I met the girl we were talking about yesterday after the first service. A life of serious demonic oppression. Serious demonic oppression. People from church ministering to her, love and honor. She gets born again. She gets so radically born again that without telling people at work, people at her work start talking to the boss saying, "What's happened to her? What's happened to her? We've never seen such a change in somebody." One girl finally called her and said, "What has happened to you?" She said, "Well, here's what happened to me." That girl said, "I need that. Can you pray for me?" She got born again. That's what's real. That's what saved me. That's what delivered me. I don't know about what other people get, kind of treating Jesus like some you know, part-time whatever. He's no part-time anything. He's the king. And he's got a kingdom that he says, come in, live by its dictates, and you'll find life here. Yes. I want to skirt around the outsides, falling prey to the opposition because the enemy convinces us there's no real life or power here. God forbid. There's got to be an aggressive attitude, friends, in apprehending the kingdom. I'm going to show you why really, really quickly. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus said these words. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now. That means when Jesus showed up, everything changed. Until now. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent ones have tried to take it by force. Now, this is one of those verses, beloved, where people go, well, what does it mean? Does that mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence by demonic forces opposing it, contradicting it, hindering it, and they try to take it, they try to disable it by force and by constant harassing? Does it mean that? There's people who go, oh, that's what that means, and that's all that it means. I'm telling you, that's what it means, but it means more. It also means this: the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, demonic opposition, oppression, and attack. Therefore, it's going to take someone of violence to take it by force. Because the enemy is not going to let you grab a hold of the kingdom with all of its power and glory without opposing you. Therefore, if you're going to lay hold of it, you're going to have to get serious. You're going to have to get violent. You're going to have to stop being a passive, lukewarm, lay back on your heels, lazy boy Christian. You're going to have to wake up and apprehend the kingdom with some violence. That's how it's apprehended. That's how it happens. Luke 16:16. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And what does he say? Everyone is pressing into it. Pressing into it. It's the exact same word for violence. It's the exact same word. It's a word picture then. You get it. I've got to press into this thing. I've got to get violent. I've got to push past. I've got to get into it. If the kingdom is so terrifying to the enemy that if we really get in it and start experiencing it, if it's so terrifying to him that he's gonna oppose us, man, doesn't that make you want it all the more? It's like, what is he trying to keep me from? What does he know that I don't know? That if I can just get in the middle of that thing and start appropriating, who knows what God might do in me and through me and for me? But we're gonna have to press in. We're gonna have to get past the opposition. We're gonna have to prioritize it and make it real and hunger for it. And one of my prayers I'm praying for our church family, God, give us a fresh hunger for the kingdom of God. Help us not be satisfied, Lord, with shallow, short-sighted Christian, so-called Christian commitment and expression. God, help us get violent, not mean, not arrogant, not nasty. Not unreal, but just violent. Pressing in. Nothing before you, Jesus. Finally, Matthew 6:33. Jesus just said it like this. Seek first the kingdom of God and all the other righteousness and his righteousness, and I will add everything else to you. Seek first. First. Well, Steve, that sounds like it should have been point number two, priority. Maybe. But first bespeaks the attitude, doesn't it? First. I'm not going to put this issue of the kingdom of God and my relationship to it way down here. First. And if it's going to be first, I'm going to have to get violent. I'm going to have to go after this. I'm not going to let the enemy just push me over with one silly little excuse for why I can't press in to become an equipped, passionate servant of Jesus Christ. We've got to stop rolling over so easily. The kingdom of God, it's the rule and reign of God. The kingdom of God, it's the future rule and reign of God that we're going to experience in its fullness at some time in history. The kingdom of God, it is a present realm where we get to experience some of the future. And that sum is plenty enough to cause us to live lives of fruitfulness, love, joy, peace, and power that we've never imagined. But we're gonna have to get after it. So, Father, we're asking for your help. There's a lot, oh God, that we've talked about today. But we're asking for your help. Lord, we just say to you, we don't want one bit of this being stolen by the enemy. We don't want one bit of this truth to be scorched and burned up by our own trials and tribulations and things that we thought should go one way and actually went the way we were hoping it didn't. Lord, we don't want this truth to be choked out for the cares of this world, the lust, the desire for other things. Lord, we want this truth of the kingdom to so penetrate our hearts that we bring forth much fruit, that the kingdom that is within us would be massive, powerful, transformative, and contagious. Contagious to those who are currently on the outside, that they might come in. God, help us live as kingdom people at a higher level than ever before. May we do it with love and humility and not arrogance and meanness. Help us live at a higher level, God, than we ever have before. Do it across this entire church, we pray. In Jesus' name, who is our King, we submit to you, King Jesus. Have your will and your way in our lives. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
This is the kingdom of God. Let's go after it. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about in weeks to come. I hope you will come and listen and do it.